Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this Sabbath of February 17, 2024. Welcome also to those joining us on the phone or on the recording or here in the room. Glad to have each one of you in fellowship today. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another time where we can come apart from the cares and perplexities of life and rest in the love of our Savior for each one of us. To worship Him from whom all blessings flow. So welcome again, dear ones. And our opening song for today's service is Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Brother Rudy, would you like to take a verse?
Yes, I really. Well, here goes. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sets on our way. Why we do His good will, He abides with us still, and we call who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. In Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Amen, dear twin. That was beautiful.
Thank you, my twin. Thank you.
Amen. And Sister Cece, I think I saw your bubble up. Would you also like to take a verse?
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, while we walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So santa ley, obedezco por fe, y feliz para siempre. Con Jesús estaré. Amen.
Amen. I love all the beautiful singing, dear brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen indeed. It's where faith comes in, is trust. So have faith and obey. Then you'll be happy in Jesus. Amen. Well, please join with me for opening prayer to our service. Beloved Father, we thank You so very much for Thy divine protection, for Your providential care and rulership in our lives, and for bringing us with the privilege of meeting together once again to worship You in spirit and in truth. We pray that Your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with us. Dear Savior, please dispel darkness in our hearts with the light of Your truth and righteousness. Dear Spirit, please reprove, correct, instruct, lead and guide us into all truth. Please let all darkness, all misunderstanding, all misinterpretation, all errors, all preconceived ideas and opinions to be as chaff, to blow away so that the truth alone remains. And please write this truth in our hearts and minds so that it may become part of our lives, part of our characters, and thus be more and more like our Savior. he delighted to do his Father's will because the Father's law was written in his heart. Help the same to be with us. And thank you so very much for your grace, for your insights, for your prickings. Thank you for troubling our hearts and allowing us to investigate further into the beliefs that we may have so that we may prove all things according to thy inspired word and cast away everything that is not true. We also thank you, dear Father, that we're a day closer to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to get ourselves ready and prepared. Help us indeed to trust in him and obey, to follow wherever he leads the way. And thank you, Savior, for being the Lord of the Sabbath and the Lord of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And this is part 6 in our series on the day of worship God has chosen. Not what man has chosen or what the church has chosen, but what God has chosen. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID338.htm. 338.htm. And as we've already discovered, after sin entered into the world, you had one group of individuals choosing to rebel against God, and you had another group that chose to remain loyal. The group that rebelled chose to worship their pagan gods, their counterfeit gods, on different days of the week, especially on the first day of the week or Sunday. And those who remained loyal and obedient to God kept the day that he made holy, which was the seventh day Sabbath. So this meant that you could look at these two groups of individuals and determine which group they were a part of, either the rebellious or the loyal, by what day of the week they chose to worship their God on. And this continues to be the same fact today. You look at quote number 1 from Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover also, I, or God, says, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So the day of the week that you chose to worship God on anciently, as well as today, shows which God you're loyal to and that you will obey. But not everybody understands this truth. And many have accepted various reasons why they believe that the seventh-day Sabbath today is no longer of the same importance as it was before Christ was born, lived, died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. And last time we examined one of these major reasons that people have against keeping God's Sabbath day holy today. And that reason was that since we are to find our rest in Jesus, and since Jesus also declared himself to be the Lord of the Sabbath, so then the seventh day of the week is no longer to be kept holy, literally, because Jesus has now become our Sabbath rest. But in comparing this idea with the scriptures, we discovered that while it's true that everyone is to find rest in Jesus, resting from their cares, from their burdens, from their anxieties, from their sins, etc. And while it's also true that Jesus declared himself to be the Lord of the Sabbath, yet it's not correct to conclude that Jesus has become the Sabbath day himself. We learned that the Queen of England when she was alive, or the current King of England, is not England themselves, but is only the sovereign over it. So Jesus is not the Sabbath day himself, but he's only the sovereign or the Lord over it. So then this means that we're to find our rest in Jesus, and we're not to neglect to also rest from our labors upon his weekly Sabbath day, just as he did. And so since Jesus is still today the Lord of all his followers, then there is still a Sabbath day today which he is Lord of and which all of his followers are to be observing. And we learned that Paul declared that this Sabbath day is the very same day which God rested and made holy at creation, the seventh day or Saturday. So then, let each of us, if we desire to be followers of God, keep holy the Sabbath day of God and avoid falling from God's grace because of unbelief in not keeping his day of rest. But what about other major reasons why people believe that the seventh-day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance as it was before Christ was on the earth and then ascended to heaven? And this is what we'll be investigating into today. And if you look at quote number 2. Another reason that people use against keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath holy today is the claim that since the Bible declares that a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, which is 2 Peter 3:8, then each day of creation did not occur within a literal 24-hour period, but instead over 7 consecutive thousand-year periods. So then this would mean that God's Sabbath day today is not a literal 24-hour period that is to be kept holy on the seventh day or on Saturday each week, because God's true Sabbath represents the seventh millennium on this earth. But is this particular belief biblical? Does it agree even with modern science? Well, let's explore a little bit into this. On the first day of creation, it was declared that the evening and the morning were the first day. That's Genesis 1:5. On the second day of creation, on the third, on the fourth, on the fifth, and the sixth, it also says that the evening and the morning were these days. So you can see that an evening and a morning was a cycle of one day. And on the seventh day in this creation week, it was also called a day. Now, when you look up the Hebrew word for a day for the seventh-day Sabbath, as well as the other 6 days, it's word number 3117 in Strong's exhaustive Hebrew concordance. And this word translates and means from one sunset to the next. So the word day used here is referring to a 24-hour period covering the beginning of the nighttime or in the evening, as well as the beginning of the daytime or the morning. So it represents a 24-hour period. So this means that each day during this creation week covered the time period from one evening or sunset to the next evening or sunset. and was not covering any greater length of time than just 24 hours. So this means that each creation day, including the seventh or the Sabbath day, could not have been a 1,000-year period. The Hebrew doesn't agree with that. And science itself disproves this particular belief. If you look at the third day of creation, it shows you that God divided the waters from each other, then brought forth dry land, and then God commanded that grass and herb yielding seed and the tree yielding fruit be brought forth upon this barren landscape of earth. And it was so. That's Genesis 1:11. So on the third day, all kinds of trees, bushes, vines, grasses, and other living plants were created fully mature, and these covered all the dry land of the earth on this third day. Now, science has proven that all these living plants breathe in and live on carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and then they give off oxygen as a byproduct of their cellular functioning. So all these living plants work to replenish the oxygen in the air of the firmament and to keep it fresh. But that's not all that these living plants need to survive. Now, on the fourth day, God spoke into existence the moon, the sun, and all the other stars to fill the expanse of space in our particular small portion in this vast universe. God then made the greater light of the sun to rule the day, Genesis 1:16. And this sun ruled the day for 12 hours, that's John 11:9. And the lesser light of the moon and the stars were to rule the night, so the other 12 hours, that's Genesis 1:16. So these greater and lesser lights would divide the day from the night and the light from the darkness, as well as for being signs and for seasons and for days and for years, Genesis 1:14 and 18. And these heavenly bodies ruled over their particular 12-hour portion of the day and the night, which reinforced the fact that each complete day was only 24 hours in length and was not an extended period of time such as 1,000 years. Now, science has proven that if each day was 1,000 years in length, then there would be great problems with these plants. All the trees, all the grasses, all the plants require sunlight in order to photosynthesize and continue their cellular functions. And even though there might be an abundance of carbon dioxide in the air, these plants would still quickly die away if sunlight was deprived them for any extended length of time. So they not only need carbon dioxide, they also need sunlight. So this means that if each day of creation was 1,000 years of literal time, then the living plants on this earth, which were created on the third day, would be long completely died away before the sun was finally created on the fourth day and then began shining on the earth. So science itself proves that each day of creation was a very short time and was not 1,000 years in length, or there would be no green plants left alive. So I hope that you can see that this particular belief of each day of creation being 1,000 years and not just 24 hours. And so then God's Sabbath day is not 24 hours, but it could be any day of the week, is not backed up by either the Bible or by science, and thus it cannot be true. But where did this particular belief come from? And it's not new. It's very old. If you look at quote number 3. Hippolytus of Rome, about the year 200 AD, taught this. And 6,000 years must needs be accomplished in order that the Sabbath may come, the rest, the holy day, on which God rested from all his works. For the Sabbath is the type and emblem of the future kingdom of the saints, when they shall reign with Christ, when he comes from heaven, as John says in his Apocalypse, for a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Since, then, in 6 days God made all things, it follows that 6,000 years must be fulfilled. And you can find where Hippolytus made that statement and read it for yourself. He wasn't the only one. Saint Victorinus, about the year 270 AD, writes, wherefore, to those 7 days the Lord attributed to each 1,000 years, for thus went the warning. In thine eyes, O Lord, 1,000 years are as 1 day. Therefore, in the eyes of the Lord, each 1,000 years is ordained, for I find that the Lord's eyes are 7. Wherefore, as I have narrated, that true Sabbath will be in the 7th millenniary of years, when Christ with his elect shall reign. So this particular belief is not modern. It's very old. So I hope that you can see that even though the belief that each day of creation took 1,000 years to complete is not explicitly taught in the writings of these Catholic authors, yet the idea that the true seventh-day Sabbath of God represents the 7,000-year cycle is clearly brought forth through these Catholic authors. And it was from this foundation that the teaching and belief that God's followers do not need to keep holy only the seventh day of each week as the Sabbath of God, because the true Sabbath day is 1,000-year period. It was based upon these beliefs. But this also shows us that the foundation for this belief is around the year 200 AD, 270 AD. So it's been here since the 3rd century AD. And I hope that you can also see that this belief is not found written in the Bible, and it's not even backed up by science, but was first found based upon the writings of Catholic Church fathers. So this particular belief is not a doctrine of God. It's not found taught in the scriptures, but is purely Catholic in origin. So if you're not a Catholic believer, if you're a Protestant or some other believer, if you use the argument that God's true Sabbath day is not a 24-hour period to be kept holy each Saturday, but the Sabbath represents a 1,000-year period, you're forced to rely upon the foundational teachings of Catholicism and not upon the truth of God's holy scriptures or even of science in order to do so. Now next time, we'll continue examining more of these major reasons that people use against keeping God's Sabbath day holy. And then we'll see if God's inspired word supports these beliefs or not. It's quite exciting to go to God's word and find out what he says is truth instead of having to rely upon what someone else says is truth. To get it directly from God makes all the difference to a true Christian. Our closing song is Don't Forget the Sabbath. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today, who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure is golden hours spent in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen. Christ himself said, remember the Sabbath day. So let us not forget what the words of our Lord has spoken. And thank you, Savior, for opening our eyes through thy Spirit and for giving us the strength to change, to trust, and to come in harmony through obedience to your words. Everyone, please join with me for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for giving us thy word of life and preserving it through all these millennia. Thank you, Spirit, for being the author of the scriptures and for also being our teacher and our guide into correctly understanding these sacred words. Please don't give up on us. Continue to reprove and correct and instruct us in righteousness. Continue to point out our sins, the areas where we're breaking God's law, and bring us directly to the Savior for cleansing, for grace to live a new life, a life of obedience, a life of submission, a life of sacrifice to do the will of our God, not our own will. Help us indeed to follow the Lamb whithersoever he lead us and not try to lead him in our own ways. Thank you so much for making salvation possible, for making freedom from sin, freedom from error possible. And thank you, Savior, for giving us life. Please continue to speed thy truth around the world. Dear Spirit, please continue to glorify the Savior and to lead all the world to worshiping him from whom all blessings flow, or to decide not to worship him but someone else. Thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world and going home. Thank you for making it all possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God for his word of life. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, questions, testimonies, songs, requests? Amen. We love thy Sabbath, Lord. Would you like to sing it for us, dear sister?
Do you have the lyrics here, Brother Bob? It's 390? No. Okay. I'll try. I'm learning through Brother Dick that a lot of the lyrics that is in some of the hymns are not correct. So forgive me if it is there once. We love thy Sabbath, Lord, and worship at thy will. Oh, may this our sweet peace afford, and deeper faith instill. That angels sang for joy, creation's work to see. We to this day will raise our hearts in grateful praise to thee. So far, so good. Praise for thy wondrous love that sealed this sacred day. As time that all may understand beyond thy sovereign sway. O great creator king, through thy redeeming grace, renew and sanctify our hearts, that we may see thy face. And with the white robe throne upon Mount Zion be, and joyful sing our Sabbath song through all eternity.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Any other comments, any other thoughts that you'd like to share, dear ones? Insights? Please go right ahead.
Hi, Elder Rob. I wouldn't call this an insight, just something that I came across recently and was flabbergasted by it, because someone called themselves a modern day like prophet, and he was given like a sermon, so to speak, on time, and he was saying, he was trying to, basically everything that we are learning here was kind of like it was against. He said that God is not in time. So what time is it that he made. And I was like, what is he reading? What is he speaking from? What is he talking about? Just as how today, through the scriptures, you broke down about the 7-day cycle and the days for, I'm like, it is as clear as day. How could you say? He even went as far as saying that, like, in Ethiopia, they're in year 2016. And yeah. And I think someone even in their congregation, was like, I think he wasn't, sure. So he said, I think, and then someone must have looked it up and allegedly confirmed it. And I was sitting there and I had to stop watching it because I was just kind of like, this is madness. And if this is what their understanding of this is, they're in trouble. And so today hearing it again, it brought me back to that person's, sermon, and I was just kind of like, oh man, imagine. I saw some people in the streets, talking about, that the Sabbath is on a Monday. And as I'm walking by and I see the sign, I'm looking at the sign, like trying to read it. I'm a pretty quick reader. So I'm trying to see what scriptures they could have been putting up to kind of say this is what it is, because I love when I see something, I love to go to where they're talking about it and read it for myself, to see what the Lord gives me out of that. And I was as flabbergasted again, because it's just like, again, they don't understand, you know, this very important lesson. But I just wanted to share some of the interesting things that I have seen in regards to this topic.
Yeah, I've never heard of that particular idea. I do know that some individuals follow the feast day Sabbaths and believe that the feast day Sabbaths are like a seventh day Sabbath in holiness. So you can have a feast day Sabbath occur any particular day of the week, but that doesn't make it a seventh day Sabbath. You can also have individuals believe that the moon decides when the Sabbath occurs. And since the moon has a 28 or 29 day cycle, but the calendar has a 28 to 31 day cycle, then you can have the Sabbath occur on any day of the week, not just the seventh day. But God himself did not follow the cycles of the moon when he gave the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath on the seventh day of each week, not a particular cycle of the moon each month, but the seventh day of each week. So even the Bible, God's command, shows that the moon has no power whatsoever to determine when God's seventh day Sabbath occurs on. And the Sabbath was in existence before the feast days were brought in, there on Mount Sinai for the Israelites, that helped them, in their sacrificial and ceremonial services to shadow or prefigure Christ coming and his ministry among mankind. So whether someone in Ethiopia wants to live in the year 2016 does not negate the fact that we're 8 years down the road from 2016. It doesn't negate that fact at all. It's just another way to try and scam people into believing that God surpasses time, so then there's really no set day of worship each week that God wants you to keep holy. It's just whenever you decide to worship God on whatever day you decide to do it. And you'd be amazed how many of these arguments that deal with time being lost or time being surpassed or whatever theory they come up with, it all is a direct attack against the seventh-day Sabbath needing to be kept holy. So you can see that the devil is Christ's enemy, and since Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, the devil is against the Sabbath that Christ is the Lord of. So he's going to have all kinds of theories, all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of excuses, all kinds of justifications to come against the keeping of the very day of Jesus Christ, because he's his enemy. So if the devil can get you to worship Christ on a different day than what Christ says to worship him on, you're a breaker of the command of Christ. You're breaking his law. And thus, how can you be a follower of Christ when you've chosen to break what he says for you to follow? I mean, common sense shows that if you're following Christ as your Lord, God, Savior, Redeemer, Sanctifier, best friend, burden bearer, then you obey what he says for you to do. That's what a follower does. He obeys his master. So if you're a follower of Christ, you will obey what Christ tells you to do. And nowhere in the scripture does Christ tell you to keep the Sabbath when it falls on a feast day. He tells you to keep the Sabbath that falls on the seventh day of creation. So if you're his follower, follow his command. If you're not his follower, then don't claim to be. Yeah, you know, God is not limited by the present, but he is governed by time. God can see the future. So he's not limited just by the present like we are. God can also see the past. Now, we can look in the past, but we don't know everything of the past like God does. But God lives in the present. He can see the future. He can see the past, but he lives in the present. And he has chosen one day out of each seven as the day which he is to be worshiped by all of his followers. And that day is the seventh day, which we saw is Saturday. From sunset Friday evening to sunset Saturday evening, that 24-hour period is God's holy Sabbath day.
It's really sad when you think of all the blessings, especially the fellowship with God, with our three gods, the rest of the universe, and all of heaven, that is missed by people who choose to worship on a different day. What a blessing they miss. All of the love, the lessons, the fellowship, the closeness is there on the Sabbath day, because that's when God says he's going to meet with us. That's his day. And if we choose not to worship or be with him on that special day, how much are we missing?
Amen. We're missing the sanctification of Christ, because in Ezekiel 20:12-20, it says that when we keep the Sabbath that God commands, he sanctifies us. He sets us apart as his chosen people. And in Isaiah 65, I believe it is, maybe 66, from speaking about the new earth that God will create. From one Sabbath to another shall all flesh, all people come to worship before him. So even in the future, on the new earth that God has not yet created, because sin and sinners have not yet been destroyed, the same seventh-day Sabbath will be kept holy for eternity. So it was made holy on the seventh day of creation. It was still holy after sin came in, because God said, remember to keep it holy, don't forget it. It was still holy when Christ was on the earth and was the Lord of the Sabbath. It was still holy after Christ resurrected and ascended to heaven, because Paul said we're to keep the same Sabbath that God kept at creation. It's still holy today, and it will continue to be holy throughout eternity. It has never changed to another day of the week, no matter how many people may believe that, because God doesn't change. If you were born on December 14, that will always be the day of your birth. It can never change to the 20th, just because you may want to change it. You were born on the 14th, and that will always be your day of birth, your birthday. It's the same with the Sabbath. It was born on the seventh day of the week. It will always occur on the seventh day of the week. It cannot change to the first, to the fifth, to the sixth. It's always the seventh.
I'd like to make a comment. Yeah, if you look at the day is one round of the earth, 24 hours. If you look at the month, it's one round of the moon around the earth. And if you look at 1 year, it's one round of the earth around the axis of the sun. But where does the seventh day cycle come? It only comes from the creation. It was during creation, it was handed down by God to Adam, and Adam handed down to his descendants, to Seth, to Methuselah, and to Abraham and his descendants, and during the time of Jesus Christ until now. But there is no, I mean, there, you cannot look at anything in the history where that seven-day cycle, it's only through creation. And so it does not change, and that cycle will continue until we come to the new earth.
Amen. Amen. 100% agree, dear brother. And since the Sabbath was created before sin came in, then the removal of sin cannot change the Sabbath. Sin cannot change the Sabbath. It was in existence before sin. So sin itself and the removal of sin has no change, no bearing upon the Sabbath, because it was created before sin came in. So then doing away with the ceremonial and the sacrificial law cannot change the Sabbath. Nailing it to the cross cannot change the Sabbath. The existence of sin in no way can change the day that God made holy at creation. And as we've already seen, it was those who worshiped God on the seventh day that were set apart as being God's followers compared to all the other religious individuals that worshiped their God on a different day. So the day that you keep holy to God determines whether you're obeying God, keeping the seventh day holy, or whether you're disobeying him, keeping another day holy. So you can understand that the sign or the seal or the mark of God is connected with the keeping of the seventh day Sabbath. But the sign or the seal or the mark of another power, such as the mark of the beast, would be worshiping on a different day of the week. We haven't got to that part yet. But it does reveal that by your fruits, by your actions, you will be known either to be a follower of the Most High or a disobeyer of the Most High, either a commandment keeper of God or a commandment breaker of God. No way around it. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, insights, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Well, we hope to see you next time, dear ones, as we go in and examine another reason that people have against keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath holy. And then we'll see what God has to say about it. Until then, keep growing in grace. Keep allowing Christ to rule in your heart more and more throughout each day and week. And, dear ones, keep looking up. Turn your mic on, dear brother.
Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.